Today is Ash Wednesday. And it gets right to the heart of what it means to be Catholic. I'm going to give you an example. Perhaps you've had the experience, we're in an overwhelmingly Protestant part of the United States, where somebody might approach you and say, "Have you been saved?" It's not unusual for that to happen, and the Catholics sometimes are kind of dumbfounded and don't know how to respond to that. So let me give you the answer. The answer is yes, I have been. Remember that Nicodemus went to Jesus at night and said, "Master, what does one have to do to be able to have eternal life?" He said, "You must be baptized by water and the Holy Spirit." Remember that? Jesus said when he was teaching about the Eucharist, he said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life in him." Remember that? Those are promises. You've been saved. Here's the rub. Catholic theology, what we believe as Catholics to be true, is that we never lose our free will. That's Catholic. We never, ever lose our free will. All the way up to the last breath of your life, it could go either way. We never lose our free will. When you were baptized, you didn't lose the free will to reject God. When you received Holy Communion, you didn't lose the free will to reject God. Have we been saved? Yes. And the thing is our being saved is a relationship. We rejected God in the actions of Adam and Eve, our first parents, and God's been calling us back. And we hear in the Old Testament readings, "Come back. Come back." God always wanted to save us. We lost it by disobedience, free will. Here we are at Ash Wednesday, entering Lent, to be prepared for this giant, giant mystery called the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus in Holy Week, where he destroys death so that we might have eternal life. One of the things we don't do enough from this pulpit, from any pulpit in the Catholic Church, is talk about hell. Is hell real? Yes, it's real. Does God send us there? No. It's the result of rejecting God freely. Now, funny thing about sin and virtue, they really derive from habits. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to break a habit? So you get into a bad habit. I don't care if it's smoking or eating or sex or drugs or alcohol or infidelity or whatever. It's not a single thing most of the time. It's a way of thinking. It's getting into a habit of a certain way of living and thinking and judging and making decisions. Selfishness is a habit. When you get into these habits, you put me first. Freely chosen. Absolute free will. So if we have that much freedom, even though God has saved us and wants us to be saved, we got to do something. We have to work on freely choosing to make it a better relationship. Just like married people have to work at it. You know, if you, those of you who are married, you know, sometime after a particularly difficult period of time, said, "Oh, I blew it again." I know you guys have never done that, but then you work at trying to make it better, to improve the situation. We are in an intense, loving relationship with somebody who loves us more than we can ever love ourselves, because he is love. That's how much he loved us. What are we going to do to keep that relationship going? There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. But there's a lot we can do to keep from rejecting him. And the work is preparing ourselves to love, to overcoming those things in ourselves that are unlovable. How would we go about doing that? Well, you have to work on some disciplines. There's a really bad idea about fasting. It's not a healthy idea about fasting, as if somehow or other I can achieve something by fasting. Or giving alms. Think of it in a different way. I have to discipline myself. It's like being St. Paul used the image of being an athlete. I have run the race well. The prize was worth running for. And the prize wasn't a crown of leaves that could fade. It was a crown of everlasting life. There was something worth running for. Or he said, in the stadium, all the athletes run so as to win, but there's only one winner. In this race, we're all winners. We've already been baptized and received Holy Communion, and now the chore is to stay true to the relationship. Don't miss Mass. How about that as a step? Receive Holy Communion every single chance you can. Those are promises from Jesus. We keep the third commandment of the Ten Commandments. We're careful to observe the commandments. We're careful to understand and follow God's commandments for us. They're for our good. They're not to put us in a straitjacket. They're for our good. They're for building up a relationship. What could I do? Well, I need to discipline myself. This is a very private thing. It's not a public thing. It's not like, oh, all of you, let's go and let's go discipline ourselves with fasting. That's not a public event. It's about me. What do I need to discipline to improve my relationship? Fasting is a good exercise, because it's like exercising that muscle at willpower, and once I learn how to do it, I can apply that muscle to other things. Fasting, giving alms, separating myself from money so that I don't become too attached to it. Prayer. Fasting without prayer, it's a diet. Fasting without prayer is a diet. Diet is not fasting. Fasting and prayer go together. You enter into a discipline. Lord, help me. You have already blessed me enormously. You've already given me eternal life. Please, Lord, help me to strengthen this will that I need to use to overcome my weaknesses. Lent. What a beautiful time, starting with Ash Wednesday and deciding. It's, if you are praying, you are examining yourself. It's a very interior activity. Where do I need to discipline myself so that I can improve the relationship Again, not unlike husband and wife. It's very similar because we're talking about a loving relationship with another human being. One who came to find us and to lead us to the Father. And all of his stories and all of his teaching, even in the gospel today, how do you fast? Don't make it a public event. Keep it private so it's just between you and the Father. These are the lessons we need to understand about Ash Wednesday. And it goes to the heart of who we are as Roman Catholics. If you've been missing Mass, can you make the promise, the commitment to come back and not miss Mass again? If it's been a long time since you've been to confession, you know, the church says go to confession at least once a year. That's just to keep us from getting lost. It's actually healthy to go to confession more frequently. I go once a month, once every 2 months. Very important part of our relationship with God. Very important part in a relationship and a marriage. I'm sorry, dear. I messed up. Sincere, honest, humble. I screwed up. I would love for you to forgive me, but whether you do or not, I still screwed up. Even if it's hard for you to forgive me, and it's even hard for me to forgive myself, I screwed up. That's a very important step in that relationship. And if you can't do it, the relationship will never be as strong as it could be. We're talking about love. And the self-discipline that love demands. Ash Wednesday is a very important part of living our Catholic life. And it's the introduction to 40 days of examination, self-discipline, prayer, and becoming more lovable so that he who already saved us doesn't find anything in us objectionable. To the best of our ability, and we ask for God's grace because we're not perfect.